Well, welcome. We had a little video kind of introducing this series. We are in a series talking about the I Am's in the book of John. And we've been going through it for about 4 weeks now, and we've been seeing some cool things about Jesus. And he's told us directly who he is. He has said, I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. We've been looking at those I Am statements through the book of John. And what's been interesting is, although he's told us directly who he is, we've seen a lot of times that people don't get it, right? Like, there was this time, about a month ago, I went to McDonald's, the McDonald's in Waikele, for breakfast. I almost never go to McDonald's, but I went for breakfast, and I remember so specifically what happened. I walked into the McDonald's, and I was like, man, I haven't been here for breakfast in like 10 years. I don't even know what to do. I'm just going to get a number one, but I know I didn't want cheese, so I started going into the thing, right? I walked up, she said, how can I help you? And I said, I'll have a number one meal with no cheese. And I'll never forget what this lady said. She goes, one large hazelnut iced coffee, anything else? And I was like, whoa, what just happened? I know I just said number one, no cheese, but she heard large hazelnut iced coffee. And I have no, we went back and forth for like a whole minute figuring out what happened, and she just heard me wrong. I was like, well, that's intense. But I bet that's how Jesus felt. Because he's saying over and over again in the book of John who he is, and then people keep asking him, wait, Jesus, who are you? And he's got to be like, man, I just said it. Here's who I am. And so that's what we've been looking at. If you have a Bible, you can take it and open it to John chapter 11. We're going to look at one more I Am statement of Jesus this morning that's super fitting for Easter. And then we'll get started into the text right after I pray. So let's pray together. Father, thank you that we get to come and open your word this morning, all of us as your people, as families. I pray that your spirit would teach us through your word. We pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. John chapter 11. I want to start reading just in verse 1. John chapter 11, verse 1. Here's what it says. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, of the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to Jesus, saying, Lord, the one whom you love is ill. All right, so a little background. Jesus loved this family. He loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. They would regularly open their home to Jesus and let him come in, and they would serve him. They would let him rest. They would take care of his needs. It was a place where Jesus knew he could go and just be at rest. He really loved these people. And they wanted Jesus to know that his good friend Lazarus was dying. And so Jesus' reaction, his answer to this news, is really shocking. Look at verse 4. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Did you see that? When he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer. That's crazy, right? I mean, first he says, well, death's not going to be the end of this story. Jesus knew that he was going to do something amazing, but it's still strange to read that when he heard that this guy that he loves so much is sick, he decided to stay. You would expect that we read that he heard that Lazarus was sick, so he dropped everything. He stopped everything, got on a horse, rode through the night, so he'd be right at Lazarus' side as quick as he could. But that's not at all what we read. We read that it says that he loved him so much that he stayed. Guys, I think at times it may feel like God doesn't love us in our lives. I think that's true for every single person. I know it's true for me. It feels at times like God does not love us. Maybe it's because of our circumstances. Our circumstances make it feel like God has abandoned us. the things that are going on in life, it feels like God must not love us. And at the ground level, when we're looking at things from our perspective, it's going to feel that way at times. But guys, I think this story is here to kind of elevate our perspective, to elevate how we view life. This story is here to show us that we can trust that God does love us, even when it feels like he's delaying. Jesus is always acting out of love for us, even if he delays. We can trust that he has something better planned. How encouraging is it to know that if God doesn't give you something that you've been asking him for, if God doesn't answer a prayer that you've been praying over and over, if he's delaying, it's because he has something better than what you're asking for. Mary and Martha, he loved them, and they were asking for Jesus to come, and he delayed because he loved them. So after 2 days, look what he says in verse 11. Verse 11, it says, after saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. Verse 17 then, now when Jesus came, he found Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Guys, Jesus delayed so much that Lazarus died. And now, for him to get up and to go be with them, he wouldn't arrive until the 4th day after Lazarus' death. At that point in this culture, they would have been mourning for 4 days. They would have started mourning right away, right when Lazarus died. They would have been mourning for 4 days, and the 4th day is super significant. Because on the 4th day, that's when the mourning, the sadness, would reach its highest. Because on the 4th day is when the body would start to decay. And there would be no hope. See, guys, in our day, we have medical advancements to know pretty accurately in the moment whether someone is actually dead or whether they're just in a coma or have passed out. But back then, they didn't really know for sure. And so they would wait 3 or 4 days, and there was always this little linger of hope. But on the 4th day, when the body started decaying, that's when the mourning, the sadness, would reach its pinnacle. There was no hope. That's when Jesus came. He came when there was no hope for life. I think Jesus did this to show that it wasn't a fluke. Lazarus didn't just pass out and the people thought he was dead. No, his body was decaying. It had been 4 days. There was no way that this guy could be revived. The only hope was for just an absolute miracle. So look what happens in verse 20 when Jesus gets there. In verse 20, so when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this, Martha? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Now, guys, here, Martha is a bit upset. And it goes beyond kind of the words that we read. It really, she's accusing Jesus. This is an accusatory statement. Jesus, if you'd have been here, my brother would be alive. If you had come, Jesus, it's your fault that my brother died. You could have done something if you'd have been here. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever accused God for something that's going on in your life? God, if you'd have just stopped this from happening, if you'd have just prevented this, God, where were you? You came too late. Where were you when the person I loved died? Where were you when my parents got divorced? Where were you when I was treated unfairly at work? Where were you when I found out the news that it's cancer? Where were you? God, if you'd just shown up, then I wouldn't be in this situation. That's what Martha was doing. And what I love about Jesus right here is that he doesn't get upset with Martha at all. He listens to Martha's heart. Because honestly, Martha's forgetting a lot of stuff about God. She's forgetting a lot of stuff that Jesus has said. She's forgetting that Jesus has said that he's the bread of life. She's forgetting that he's already said that he's the light of the world, that he's the I am. She's forgetting a lot of truth when she says, "It's your fault, Jesus." But Jesus doesn't come down hard on her and say, "Oh, you're so foolish, Martha. Just remember who I am." No, he listens to her. He lets her pour out her heart to him. Jesus tells her that Lazarus will rise. She says that she knows he will eventually, but Jesus says, "No, I've come to give life right now. I am the resurrection and the life." Guys, Jesus does the same thing for us. He lets us come to him and pour out our hearts to him, and then he gives us hope. That's what he's doing with Martha right here. He's given her hope. Jesus wants to bring life to us right now, guys, not just in the future. The message of the Bible isn't that if you come to God and put your faith in Jesus, then eventually you'll have life in heaven. No, the message of Jesus is that he's coming to give life right now, life to its fullest. He asked Martha, "Do you believe it?" She says she does. So look at verse 32. "Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.' And when Jesus saw her weeping," this isn't accusatory, this is just sad. She's just sad. "And the Jews who had come with her weeping also, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, 'Where have you laid him?' They said, 'Lord, come and see.' And Jesus wept." Jesus sees that Mary's more emotional than her sister. She's just breaking down in tears. And now Jesus asks to go see where his friend Lazarus is. And when he sees it, he weeps. And the word here doesn't mean just get a little misty. It doesn't mean his eyes got a little misty like your eyes did at the end of Toy Story 3. That's not what happened right here at Lazarus' tomb. It means bawling, tears coming down his face. Guys, Jesus entered into their sadness. We have a God who, because he became a man, he feels what we feel. He hurts like we hurt. Which means, guys, that Jesus is the perfect person for us to go to when we're feeling sadness and hurt. Verse 38. "Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone laid against it." Deeply moved. That right there could also be translated an outburst of anger. I like that translation. Jesus goes from crying in sadness to an outburst of anger at the tomb. Well, why is he angry? What would he be angry about? Well, Jesus here is feeling the evilness of death. He's seeing how death is impacting these people that he loves. He's seeing the finality of death and how unnatural it is in our story, how horrible it is. And he's angry at death. It's wrong. It shouldn't happen in our story. He's angry at death, and he's angry at sin that leads to death. And in this outburst of anger at sin and death, he goes to the tomb like a warrior prepared to battle the person he's angry at. Because the enemy has caused this. The enemy has caused Lazarus' death, an enemy that Jesus came to defeat. Look at verse 41. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out."
And the man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him, let him go." What an amazing miracle. A miracle that shows us that Jesus is greater than death. Jesus is stronger than sin and death and the enemy. He's stronger than our pain, stronger than our sadness, stronger than our loss. And God will have victory over sin and death and Satan. And notice our I am statement. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life." It's through me, it's through Jesus that God is going to have this victory. It's through Jesus that we have life and life to its fullest. This event foreshadows how Jesus would have victory over death himself, what we're celebrating this morning, right? The resurrection of Jesus. That's what this event is foreshadowing. But look how the people respond in verse 45. Verse 45 says, "Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and who had seen what he did, believed." That would be natural, right? Many believed in him. They just saw an amazing miracle. Many believed, but some of them went to the Pharisees, who were religious leaders, and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, "What are we going to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him." Guys, that's what the religious leader said. If we let him go on, everybody's going to believe. "And the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." Guys, we see this all the time. When Jesus does an amazing miracle or when Jesus starts to teach about himself, some believe and some begin to follow him, and some completely reject him. Did you notice why these people rejected him? Let me read it again. "If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away our place and our nation." Why didn't these people believe in Jesus? They were scared. That's the heart of it. They were scared. They were scared that they would lose their position, lose their titles, lose their reputation. They were scared that they would lose their areas of influence, their friends. Guys, they were scared of what others would think about them. They were scared of how it would affect their lives. They were scared that they would lose their lives. You see, they loved the way their lives were so much in that moment that they weren't willing to lose what they had in life to believe in Jesus. And that's just amazing to me, based upon all that we've seen about Jesus so far. He's the bread that satisfies us forever. He's the light that brings the party. Now we see that he goes into battle against sin and death for us, and he wins the battle that we couldn't win on our own. No man has ever raised himself from the dead, but God has said, "I will raise you from the dead. Believe in me." And these people were too scared, because they didn't want to give up the way their life currently was. They were scared that they would lose their lives. They were scared that their lives would change. Yes, your life will change if you follow Jesus. It will get so much better. That's what he keeps telling us. That life with him is filled with more joy and pleasure than life without him. Are you scared to give your life to Jesus? Christians who have given your life to Jesus, are you scared to give him your whole life? So you just give him maybe some of your money or some of your time on Sunday, but he doesn't have your whole life. He doesn't have your passions. There are just other things in life that you're way more passionate about. So you give Jesus just maybe a little sliver of the pie of your life, but you haven't given him your whole life, your whole passions. Are you scared of what would happen if your whole life was given to Jesus? Guys, that's what these people were scared of. They were scared that they would lose their reputation, their friends, their job, their life. So they ran away. They ran away from the God who had power over death. And look what it says in verse 53. So from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. Guys, from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. You see, you either follow him with your entire life, or you end up hating him. That's the reality, guys. Jesus kind of gives us a watershed moment here. I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe it, Martha? If you believe it, you're going to have life and life to its fullest. Fullness of joy, pleasures forevermore. If you don't, then you are going to end up hating me. Guys, it's my prayer that each of you, each of us, give our lives entirely to Jesus and that we would have life to its fullest right now and forever. Because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you that you've given us the truth of your word, that Jesus has told us who he really is, and that he is so much better. He's better than what we're currently holding on to, what we're currently trusting in. He's better than the lives that maybe we think would bring us satisfaction and joy. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And he showed it by having victory over death, by dying the death that we deserved, and then having victory that we can also have through him.